Chapter 25. Must start at all events, like storytellers, and delude the young persons into the belief that they were going to be interesting. As I looked in at this window for 20 minutes by the clock, I am in a position to offer a friendly remonstrance not bearing on this particular point to the designers and engravers of the pictures in those publications. Have they considered the awful consequences likely to flow from their representations of virtue? Have they asked themselves the question whether the terrific prospect of acquiring that fearful chubbiness of head, unwieldiness of arm, feeble dislocation of leg, crispiness of hair, and enormity of shirt collar, which they represent as inseparable from goodness, may not tend to confirm sensitive waverers in evil? A most impressive example, if I had believed it, of what a dustman and a sailor may come to when they mend their ways, was presented to me in this same shop window. When they were leaning, they were intimate friends, against a post, drunk and reckless, with surpassingly bad hats on, and their hair over their foreheads, they were rather picturesque, and looked as if they might be agreeable men, if they would not be beasts. But, when they had got over their bad propensities, and when, as a consequence, their heads had swelled alarmingly, their hair had got so curly that it lifted their blown-out cheeks up, their coat cuffs were so long that they never could do any work, and their eyes were so wide open that they never could do any sleep, they presented a spectacle calculated to plunge a timid nature into the depths of infamy. But, the clock that had so degenerated, since I saw it last, admonished me that I had stayed here long enough, and I resumed my walk. I had not gone 50 paces along the street, when I was suddenly brought up by the sight of a man who got out of a little phaeton at the doctor's door, and went into the doctor's house. Immediately, the air was filled with the scent of trodden grass, and the perspective of ears opened, and at the end of it was a little likeness of this man keeping a wicket, and I said, God bless my soul. Joe Specs. Apostrophe, through many changes and much work, I had preserved a tenderness for the memory of Joe, for as much as we had made the acquaintance of Roderick Random together, and had believed him to be no ruffian, but an ingenuous and engaging hero. Scorning to ask the boy left in the phaeton whether it was really Joe, and scorning even to read the brass plate on the door, so sure was I rang the bell, and informed the servant maid that a stranger sought audience of Mr. Specs. Into a room, half surgery, half study, I was shown to await his coming, and I found it, by a series of elaborate accidents, bestrewn with testimonies to Joe. Portrait of Mr. Specs, bust of Mr. Specs, silver cup from grateful patient to Mr. Specs, presentation sermon from local clergyman, dedication poem from local poet, dinner card from local nobleman, tract on balance of power from local refugee, inscribed homage to La Tura Specs. When my old schoolfellow came in, and I informed him with a smile that I was not a patient, he seemed rather at a loss to perceive any reason for smiling in connection with that fact, and inquired to what was he to attribute the honor. I asked him with another smile, could he remember me at all? He had not, he said, that pleasure. I was beginning to have but a poor opinion of Mr. Specs, when he said reflectively, and yet there's a something too. Apostrophe upon that, I saw a boyish light in his eyes that looked well, and I asked him if he could inform me, as a stranger who desired to know, and had not the means of reference at hand, what the name of the young lady was who married Mr. Random. Upon that, he said Narcissa, apostrophe, and, after staring for a moment, called me by my name, shook me by the hand, and melted into a roar of laughter. Why, of course, you'll remember Lucy Green, apostrophe, he said, after we had talked a little. Of course, apostrophe, said one. Whom do you think she married? Apostrophe, said he. You? Apostrophe, I hazarded. Me, said Specs, and you shall see her. apostrophe so I saw her, and she was fat, and if all the hay in the world had been heaped upon her, it could scarcely have altered her face more than time had altered it from my remembrance of the face that had once looked down upon me into the fragrant dungeons of Seringapatam. But when her youngest child came in after dinner, for I dined with them, and we had no other company than Specs Jr., barrister at law, who went away, as soon as the cloth was removed, to look after the young lady to whom he was going to be married next week, I saw again, in that little daughter, the little face of the hayfield, unchanged, and it quite touched my foolish heart. We talked immensely, Specs and Mrs. Specs, and we spoke of our old selves, as though our old selves were dead and gone, and indeed they were dead, and gone as the playing field that had become a wilderness of rusty iron, and the property of S.E. R. Specs, however, illuminated Dullborough with the rays of interest that I wanted, and should otherwise have missed in it, and linked its present to its past, with a highly agreeable chain. And in Specs' society I had new occasion to observe what I had before noticed in similar communications among other men. All the schoolfellows and others of old, whom I inquired about, had either done superlatively well or superlatively ill, had either become uncertificated bankrupts, or been felonious, and got themselves transported, or had made great hits in life, and done wonders. And this is so commonly the case, that I never can imagine what becomes of all the mediocre people of people's youth, especially considering that we find no lack of the species in our maturity. But I did not propound this difficulty to Specs, for no pause in the conversation gave me an occasion. Nor could I discover one single flaw in the good doctor. When he reads this, he will receive in a friendly spirit the pleasantly meant record, except that he had forgotten his Roderick Random, and that he confounded Strap with Lieutenant Hatchway, who never knew Random, howsoever intimate with Pickle. When I went alone to the railway, to catch my train at night, Specs had meant to go with me, but was inopportunely called out. I was in a more charitable mood with Dullborough than I had been all day, and yet in my heart I had loved it all day too. Ah! Who was I, that I should quarrel with the town for being changed to me, when I myself had come back, so changed, to it? All my early readings and early imaginations dated from this place, and I took them away so full of innocent construction and guileless belief, and I brought them back so worn and torn, so much the wiser, and so much the worse. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.